The Department of Defense designing requirements for a big procurement at DOD involves three main elements: cost, schedule, and performance objectives. There are always trade-offs, of course, amongst the three of those, and DOD is supposed to consider those trade-offs when they're writing requirements, but they're not as successful at doing that as Congress would like. Mike Sullivan, the Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at GAO, is my guest to talk about how DOD can get back on track. Mike, it's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Weapons System Acquisition Reform Act of 2009 required that JROC, the Joint Requirements Oversight Council, consider these trade-offs that I mentioned as I brought you on the air, and that also the GAO was supposed to look at these trade-offs and how they're doing. You did that. What did you find?
Well, first of all, that the act asked us to address three different things. The first one was the extent to which the council considered trade-offs, the quality of the cost schedule performance estimates that it was presented, and the extent to which the JROC is able to prioritize the needs of the department across programs. So on the first one, the extent to which the council considered trade-offs, we found that that they were able to take a look at, I believe it was seven different programs that put forth documents to begin in 2010. So we focused on those seven, and they had something to say about four of those and not much to say about the other three.
Mm-hmm. What overall was the policy at JROC as far as considering these trade-offs and taking them into account when they're doing the requirements for a new project?
The policy is that the council will, you know, when they get the resource estimate from the capability sponsor, which is usually a service, they're supposed to sit down and go through these trades that are made across cost schedule and performance being the capability requirements for a weapon system. The idea is to bring the warfighters' kind of experience and abilities to look at these things into play so that you can get a more rounded look at how the requirements are shaping up. And usually what you would look at is the performance requirements, those capabilities that they want, and make trades across between them and cost. In other words, if you're asking, if there's a capability document coming into the JROC that is asking for, you know, an invisible airplane that can, go hypersonic speeds, and that threat is needed, the warfighter element of the JROC is supposed to be able to look at that and say, you know, we probably don't need all that capability.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it'd be very unpredictable to do.
Right.
And so they would have the ability to lower those requirements.
The ability to lower the requirements, too, is something that's been dogging the Pentagon for a long time. Everybody from former chairman of the Joint Chiefs down to procurement officers and so on have told me over the years that's not something that the Pentagon normally wants to do. And when it's something that somebody doesn't want to do, it makes it harder for them to buy into the fact that they have to do it. Talk about the recommendations that you made in looking at all of those three things that you talked about, but particularly at the ability of JROC to be able to scale back where scaling back is appropriate.
Yeah, I think basically our report was aimed at trying to get the JROC, number one, to be able to weigh in better on cost, schedule, and performance trades. It needs better information. So the recommendations that we make drive to perhaps having the JROC alter its policies to align them more with the acquisition process. Right now, the JROC has an ability to weigh in on the requirements at the very, very beginning when there's a need identified, and actually at that time the cost and schedule, the resources needed to meet that need, are not very well understood at all.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really a good resource estimate at that point. The JROC looks at the needs, and there's not much trade that can take place there, so they usually accept those.
Mm-hmm.
Then the acquisition process actually goes through a fairly rigorous process of doing what they call an analysis of alternatives, where they will then take that need and start deciding what it is, you know, what kind of a weapon system is going to fulfill that need, and they start doing systems engineering, and they whittle down to a specific preferred solution. And then they begin technology development and invest dollars. This is all before the program begins, but there's a lot of dollars being invested in a program, and a program is kind of gaining influence and weight at that time until the next time the JROC will get to look at it, which is right before the program will begin development.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, it's kind of late. The other processes and stakeholders have weighed in very heavily on those requirements. And usually the trades are made before the JROC gets another look at it.
The diagram that you included in the highlights page of this report is just part of what we have posted at federalnewsradio.com. We have the whole report posted there as well. And I appreciate you coming on to explain it to me this afternoon, Mike. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Mike Sullivan, the Government Accountability Office, my guest. He is a Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at GAO. And as I mentioned, all of the resources surrounding this report available at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.